Let us now turn in God's Word to Acts 13, and we will read together the first 13 verses. Acts 13, verses 1 through 13. Let us hear the Word of our God. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed from Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. When they had gone through the isles unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, is his name by interpretation, stood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also called Paul, filled with the ghost, set his eye on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to put the right ways of the Lord? And now, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went out, seeking to lead him by the hand. The deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being beloved congregation, as well as our dear friends and guests from the Netherlands, how many of you know how many miracles are recorded in the book of Acts? Children, do you know? How many miracles are recorded in the book of Acts? Well, I don't hear an answer. Maybe the young people know. Maybe you've studied under Christian education. Maybe you've studied it through homeschooling. Maybe in Bible class, Sunday school. Parents, do you know? Or grandparents? How many miracles are found in the book of Acts? The answer? 27. 27 miracles are laid out in the book of Acts for particular purposes. Number one, those miracles show the power of God. And that power can be broken down in terms of overthrowing evil and causing the gospel to be victorious. That's one of the primary goals of every one of the miracles. But another goal of the miracles of the Acts, the miracles in the Acts, is to also convince the people that the apostles, who were vested with power to perform them, were indeed the apostles of Jesus Christ. And the reason why those miracles was to again convince that these men are sent of the Lord. And in the process, we know that as these miracles were performed, opposition was evident, but also submission to the gospel was evident. And this afternoon, we consider together with God's help one of those miracles. And we'll see that on the one side, the gospel is just, and the aim is to thwart it, On the other side, gospel must be advanced and must be successful, not because of who man is or because of what man does, but because of God will do through his servant. But ultimately, not because of his servant, but because of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you to turn with me in Acts 13 together, one such miracle as we have it in chapter 34 through 12. Acts 13, verses 4 through 12. I'll read together verse 12. The deputy, when he saw him, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. We'll read that again. The deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the of the Lord. Beloved, these particular verses, verses 4 through 12, have in it two particular characters. The first one is Elymas, or Bar-Jesus, and the second one is Sergius Paulus. Two main characters. Our theme is Elymas and Sergius Paulus. I want to consider together two thoughts. First, we want to look at Elymas and Sergius Paulus. First, the forces of evil defeated, and secondly, the power of grace triumphs. Where's the Apostle Paul? Well, at present, he's in Antioch. Antioch was a city of Syria. It was very close to the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And while there, the Holy Spirit descends and indicates that Paul and Barnabas must go out and begin to preach the gospel to the surrounding areas. You see, what Jesus commanded his disciples to do would be done and will be done. Preach the gospel to every creature. And this afternoon, we have people gathered here from different parts of the world. And that command remains the same. Preach the gospel to every creature. And may God grant us grace to be able to do so this afternoon. As Paul and Barnabas were given grace and filled with the unction of the Holy Spirit to go out and begin their first missionary journey. And that's exactly where verse 4 finds us. Because verse 4 says, so they sent forth by the Holy Ghost depart to Seleucia. Seleucia, another smaller city, town, that's part of, and just south of Antioch, southwest Antioch. And it's right on the coast of the Mediterranean. It was a seaport town. And as a result, boys and girls, Paul and Barnabas are aboard ship. They're going to boat. And they're going to travel 24 miles across the Mediterranean Sea, coast of, or for those from the Netherlands, approximately 42 kilometers from Seleucia, which is on the across to the eastern side of the island of Cyprus. And in every place that Paul goes, he always preaches the gospel. For we read, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they at Salamis, they preached the word of God. Now Salamis, first city, on the side of the island of Cyprus, out in the Mediterranean Sea. And again we see the Paul, faithful to his... We know that he had originally persecuted the church. We know he was consenting to the death of... But we also know that the apostle stopped on the way to Damascus. And his eye... And he was not only called to the gospel, but he would also... For what things he had to endure for the gospel's... How he had to be afflicted, how he had to be persecuted in different ways. Through it all, Paul receives the commission to preach the gospel. And Paul is empowered to do this. And they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God. That can also be translated, they preached the If you had a piece of paper in front, I trust you do, from the bulletin when you came to church, and you find the simple word that is so well known throughout the world, in terms of word, how would you find the gospel? And then only define it, but then we're also able to explain it as something that is has had an impact upon your own life. Well, very simply stated, boys, and gospel means good news. If we unpack it a little bit more, good news, sinners. If we want to put it within a biblical context, use 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. This is a faithful saying and world acceptation that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the good news. And Paul says, I am chief. The gospel comes to the worst, to the criminal of all criminals. And why? Because Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross poured out his soul unto death. He's blood. And as a result, guilty, sin-ridden sinners can come and be partakers of that good news by believing on Jesus Christ through the way of repenting for sin. The gospel is good news for sinners. Sinners that are outside this church this afternoon, for sure. Sinners that are outside the church doors this afternoon. But sinners in every single chair here in the church this afternoon. That's what Paul preached. What God wrought in his own heart, through the very love being shed abroad in his heart, because of what Jesus Christ had done him on Calvary's cross, and what the Holy Spirit had done within him, he cannot but now speak out to those. And so they preached the word odd where? In the synagogues of the Jew. It's interesting to note that this the Jews' rejection, as you have it in John 1, verse 11, came into his own received him not. Despite their crying out, the hall of judgment, crucify him, crucify him. Despite their enmity, despite all their hatred, the rejection of Jesus Christ, Paul is commissioned to preach the gospel to his own people. That's what enabled him to write later on in Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And that motivated him to preach the gospel at the synagogue, in the synagogues, the Jews. And then it says, and they also had John to their minister. That's Mark, to be the author. John Mark of the book. So Paul has his companions. He has his support system. But above and beyond, every human being has the Holy Ghost going. He has empowering him. And he has the Holy Ghost, his defense in bringing the gospel to those who would oppose it, as well as those who would embrace it. You see, Paul was but the mouthpiece of the Lord, the ambassador of Jesus Christ. He only had to speak the mind of his sender as of the gospel. He has to speak the mind of his sender in the Bible, knowing they leave the results, gospel proclamation, and the golfer with the Lord. And thanks be to God, with the sowers, and he is the one that brings in the fruit. And blessed are they who have not only the seed sown into their hearts and producing fruits, but blessed are they who are increased, because such will have some measure the same motivation that Paul had to preach the gospel. As well as woe unto those who would oppose the gospel. And it's most interesting to note that as we begin verse 6, we read, and when they had gone through the unto Paphos, that, well, Salamis on the eastern side of the island, And it's believed they're taking a boat. They walked there to the western end of the island where was Paphos. And as they moved along, they saw the gospel opportunity that the Lord gave them. It reminds me, several weeks ago, I had to make a trip to Alberta. And some of you may have heard, especially in Canada, but you may have even in the United States, that there was a tremendous mudslide along Highway 1, about 70 kilometers west of Golden. That's in the Rocky Mountains. And myself and another companion, as we were driving to Alberta, a trip of 12 hours, knew that mudslide was there, but were hopeful that it impeded. Well, it did. For about 6 hours. And we sat on the highway, surrounded by truckers. And you know, a pastor's mind is always going. And so you wonder why the Lord does what He does. What avenues He can open to be useful to mankind. To make a long story short, it was a joy that within a period of about 5 minutes, there were about 7 East Indians gathered in the circle, of which, in God's providence, would also be part, and to pray that I would be cleared away so we'd be gone, because they had, some of them had sat there for 12 hours. And instead of communicating with them, they were all Sikh. Sikh is a certain, it's a religion. Worship is called gurus. God gave us the opportunity in the middle of the Rockies on Highway 1 to gospel to these men, some of them with turbans on. And we are not informed as to what success the gospel had from the eastern to the western edge of Cyprus. But God now is desirous to implant this miracle and this whole story for your learning and mine. Because what we have here is this. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now his name was also Elymas, as you can see in verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer. So it's confirmed. He has two different names. Bar-Jesus means literally son of salvation. And yet in reality, because the Bible tells us here that he was a false prophet, regretfully a Jew who should have known better, he was really a son of the devil. And it's soon evident that he's a son of the devil because he tries to thwart the advancement of the gospel. Something that every minister of the gospel has some experience with to a greater or lesser degree. Every single missionary has some experience with to a greater or lesser degree. Yet, because the Holy Spirit goes with and possesses the minister of the gospel in the ministry, the gospel be advanced. This, every effort to silence its advancement. And it's taking a footing in the heart of a sinner. You may have come here this afternoon strictly out of curiosity. You may have come here this afternoon strictly because your conscience will not allow you to stay out of church. You may have come here strictly by coercion. Because your parents have determined that you need to. You may have come here with little or no interest in hearing the Word of God. Well, when that's the case, you're no different than Bar-Jesus. You're still a son of Satan, not salvation. Yet, as this miracle and this story proves, God will advance His gospel. And may it be to praise and the glory of God and the grace of soul that this afternoon, arraigned, convicted, and brought to see your need of Jesus Christ, and recognize that by the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, there is salvation for you. Well,
we go on.
And it says, and when they had gone through the Apophis, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus, was with the deputy of the country, Sergius. Now, this particular island of Cyprus was under the wire. And her, or a deputy, designated to rule this particular island. And so we have Bar-Jesus, or Elymas, who's within a position, under Sergius Paulus, who was governor of the island, as two individuals, both the sons of Adam. Fallen sons of Adam. Utterly depraved, corrupt to the core, and yet there's a great difference between the two of them. One expressed interest in hearing the gospel. The other one shows determination to oppose. And thanks be to God, the same spirit that possessed Paul, bless the gospel to Paul, is the same Holy Spirit who will bless the word to Sergius. Now, how that desire to hear the gospel began, you probably wonder. Well, God works in mysterious ways. And as in Barnabas, we're making this new message to this island was like the headline news that we, when we hear of something that goes on around the world, it's headlines in the paper. It's very likely that this new message that was so strange to the people, unknown in their hearts, and yet taking root, was beginning to spread and go outside of the villages where Paul had preached. And as a result of it, we read, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But there's a key word, and it's the word prudent. And the word prudent in the original literally means one who is thoughtful and reflective, particularly regarding religion. And had some type of religious conviction. No way can we be our saving. But one thing we can say is certain. He had an instinct to hear the message about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we do not have to try to decipher how that came about. That when that comes into the heart of a person, that can be on the one side the common working of the Holy Spirit. But it can also be the saving operation of the Holy Spirit. And it's only time bears that out. But one thing is certain, and one thing we must be glad about. He desired to hear the word of God. And the word in the Greek means literally, he inquired after and sought with strong desire. Is that found in man by nature? Which were enemies of the cross, enemies of Christ. By nature, we're just like we heard this morning. The Laodiceans who said, Jesus heard them saying, I am rich with goods and have need of nothing. As a result, dismantling, he had something wonderful taking place in his life. He was being drawn in his to that which he needed most. If you were to write down on paper this afternoon without having to sign it, desired most. Well, because we're all reformed, you probably know what to answer. Some of you may answer more joy in the world. That's good. That's a good desire. And the Lord Himself will fulfill it in the lives of His people. But some of you may answer, oh, where I might find Him. Some of you may answer, that I might know that Jesus has poured out His soul unto death for me. Some of you desire to hear more of Christ and who are you at the right hand of the Father as seeds for you. And all things can be found in the Word. And those desires are put in the heart by God. their uniqueness until God and opens our heart like Lydia's to attend to the things that were spoken. We read in Acts 16. Yet blessed is then and desired to hear the word of God. How did you come to chapter? Did you come like Sergius Paul? How do you come to church every week? How do the scripture readings in your own personal time at home, which I do have and recognize, are you desirous to hear the word? What's so amazing is exactly what Jesus commanded. Matthew 7, verse 7 is fulfilled here. Jesus says in Matthew 7, 7, ask and it shall be given. And look what happens. Paul begins to preach. Now the fact that Sergius had a desire, something. I can have desires in my heart and you can't decipher what they are. Therefore, you have to put into words. We have to express to someone or to God, ultimately to God, I trust you will, with regard to this word. I desire to hear this word. What a blessing. And that is the case. Because you see, God doesn't disappoint those in earnestness. And you see, it just wasn't any word, but it was the word of God. And that can also be translated gospel. So on the one side, we have Bar-Jesus or Elymas, an enemy. And on the other side, we have Sergius Paulus, who has this wonderful desire in his heart. He makes it known. And in the process of his making it known, he meets with opposition. Do you find that also? When you have real desire to pray, or and when you have real desire to hear the word, that thoughts may be injected as a deterrent to your coming into the presence of God to pray, or wrong thoughts or distracting thoughts may enter into your mind as a deterrent when you're sitting in church, yet you came with a real desire. You see, this son whose name meant salvation, as a son of Satan, was doing Satan's work. He was aiming to thwart the advancement of the gospel. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. The word withstood means opposed with the greatest measure of force. Do we not find that throughout Acts? The gospel is being preached by the apostles. There are those who are ferocious against the gospel. Think of Stephen when he was preaching the gospel in Acts 7 so clearly these words. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But as reformed people, we would never do that. And for Jews, people with tremendous biblical old knowledge, they were taught the scriptures, and yet they gnashed on their teeth, even, and the message he brought. You see, the preaching of Jesus Christ, necessity to submit to him and surrender him, was in opposition to their own means of religion, their own heart. Result, the enemy sought to get the upper hand, the forces of aim to triumph over grace. But it can never be, and it will never be. And when such among us may indeed find some of the terrors and some of those efforts by the devil to draw away from the gospel, need the gospel in your life,
one of two things will happen. The devil will win out, and temporarily, because you can. Secondly, it can be that ultimately the full effect and the desire withers, as you read in Hebrews 6. Or, as God works, He brings you peace in prayer and more fervency, that God will do of the power of and cause His grace to triumph. Remember, where God works, the devil also seeks to work. Because the last thing that the devil wants is that any would repent and believe on Jesus Christ. And why? The devil has come to wreck the work of God, if that's possible. It's not because of the work of Christ. But because the root of the devil is certain in hell, he will aim to take as many along with him as possible. Because as he opposes the gospel's advancement, so those who are the son workers of the devil also oppose. We read, but this word for so is his name by interpretation to them, seeking to turn, which means literally aiming to twist and distort the truth. Well, we're known by the friends we keep. Maybe that sounds like a strange interjection into the sermon. We're known by the friends we hang around with. And yet we're hanging around with other young people who are indeed a deterrent. You may know of that case by asking yourself very basic questions. Number one is, does this bring me closer to God or further away from God? You can make that application as parents too. Does this individual aim in his life, live a life to God's glory because of his grace? Or is this individual living in the world and with the world and enjoying the ways of the world? Because if we love the world, the love of God is not endless as that. That's where you're at with your friends, to hell. You're headed to hell. It's your day from the Bible. And as a result, as we sing in one of the psalms, it'd be very applicable for you this afternoon to mention that. For Christ came, forsake the world and every former friend. You certainly can't afford to do your own soul. Elymas was in the process of doing this. But in the process of doing it, he would be successful. You see what he did? He withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. The faith, not historical faith, not religious faith, not temporal faith, but saving faith. It's interesting to note that the devil and all those who work for the devil have a keen insight as to one's seeking after God, seeking after faith in Jesus Christ. You see, that's what this man was first to get. By Paul preached to him the gospel, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The deterrent through Elymas. But how does Paul, as a servant of the Lord, the Holy Ghost and his power, deal with this? Very honestly, there's a canned situation, and put a band-aid over it. He takes out a scalpel to get away at the infection. Because you see, Paul's goal is God's glory. Paul's goal is the gospel of salvation to sinners. All children of God. Brother, may that ever be our goal, sisters of the gospel. May we ever be motivated, may we ever be praying, even give us desire, because servants of the Lord need things too. But here Paul, then Paul, who also was called, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. The word set has the idea of an intensity of look. It's as if he looks right through Elymas, knowing exactly what his purpose is. Because Paul's aim is the salvation of this sinner, Sergius Paulus.
And then we read, Paul speaks, and said, O full of subtlety, O full of subtlety. Literally that means, O full of deceit. And then he goes on and says, and all mischief, which literally means recklessness in doing evil. So he gives us a pretty good description of this Elymas. Then he goes on to say, thou child of the devil. And the word child means literally son of the devil. And yet his name means son of salvation. And then Paul goes on and says, thou enemy of all righteousness, of all that is right and good. Wilt thou not cease? Won't you stop and quit to pervert, to turn away the right ways of the Lord? And the right way here literally means God's method of salvation and purpose of mercy. Now we said there was a miracle, 27 of them in the Scripture, in the book of Acts. And we said that God's ultimate goal, of course, was His glory, but also the advancement of His kingdom. As well as proof that His apostles are really the apostles of Jesus Christ with power to preach the gospel. And we have so clearly happening here. Here's a man who opposes salvation of a sinner and the very mercy this sinner needs. What type of things today serve to support the gospel in your life? Mass media. Your abuse, I won't say use, but your abuse, internet. Or the time you may waste on the internet. Or the time you may waste reading books that can never benefit your. Or ships that you can have that lead on the pathway of the world and the path that leads to destruction. There are many different things that can be part and parcel of your life whereby you actually push the gospel away and reject the very mercy of God through Jesus Christ and in the process destroy your own soul. But thanks be to God. There is no man that can thwart the gospel. But there is those who will not hear the gospel as well as those who would aim to thwart the gospel. Now, old Paul says in verse 11, the hand of the Lord. The idea of the hand there is the power of the Lord is upon thee. And thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Can you find mercy of God in there, in that verse? Do you think there's mercy to this man, Elymas, in this verse? Oh, there is. The Lord is long suffering. He's so slow to wrath because the very words, not in the sun for a season, so that this blindness would be a period of time, but not continuous. But God would bring about this blindness and this immediate act of blindness of a mist in terms of like a fog coming on this man very slowly, so that he slowly loses vision and falls within the realm of darkness to the point that he had around. And in the process, Sergius Paulus is seeing all this happen. And it's this very miracle, along with the preached gospel, the method of salvation, God's purpose of mercy, that the Holy Spirit uses in a powerful way to not only thwart the enemy's advance in destroying the gospel, but also to advance God's cause in seeing this man. God works in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. And we know certainty, and may it be for the encouragement of a sinner here, seeking soul here, of one strawed and tossed with tempest, comforted, the work of the cannot try. It will be defeated. And why? We get to the desert where Jesus led into temptation. And with a spoken word, He defeated the work of the devil.
We travel to Calvary's cross. On the cross, we see His saving, gracious mercy being poured out on a thief on a cross. We can observe the enemy declaring, He saved others, let Him save Himself. And yet, the lungs that caused Him to hang on the cross are bonds of love to His own death and bloodshedding. That were bonds of love that could not prevent His love and His acts of love of saving sinners. And there you are to be encouraged. Though the devil may be strong, temptations may be great, and you're seeking after the Lord, meet with opposition, maybe by family members, maybe by friends, in yourself, within your own mind. Yet we see here the grace of God triumphs. Then the deputy, when he was done, believed. Now there's two keys in this verse, verse 12. He saw what was done, saw the miracle, and the miracle, he saw the very power to send this mist, as it were, so that this blind slowly came upon this man, until it became dark, and he had that around. He saw the power of God to prevail over evil. But there's something else. He believed, it says. He believed in Jesus Christ. Why? Being astonished at the name of the Lord. So he had not only the miracle used, it refers to the doctrine of the Lord, it refers to the gospel that he had in him. The very word, the truth about Jesus Christ. God can use all kinds of means. For this man, he used this miracle where he thwarted the will of an enemy. And he opened the salvation for Sergius Paulus through. Believed him for his name's sake. When it comes to the doctrines of the Lord, the reference there is doctrines that are in connection with the salvation of a sinner. The doctrine of the nature of Christ. So necessary in order for him to bear the wrath of God, in order for Jesus to bear the wrath of God against sin. But also his human nature as a human being to die for sin, which is all part and parcel of the gospel, and by means of the human nature, by nature of Christ, can take refuge to and find all that is necessary in him. And because the devil is defeated in this story, you are doing battle with him right now. This word is preached as soon to encourage you, to strengthen you, to direct you, to press on, to seek with all your heart and mercy as it comes from God. This message this afternoon warns those who would aim to thwart the gospel by informing you, you never, ever be able to. And may that an encouragement for us, brother, all the opposition may or may not as of yet experience how and His God will triumph. Has it already in your life and in mine? Has Jesus Christ become the foundation upon which we looked down and found rest for our souls and weary? Is the blood of Jesus the only means whereby we experience pardon and peace with God? Is the righteousness of Christ the only way where we have learned we have acceptance with God? Is the salvation of Christ the only salvation we see as a salvation that can save me when I've learned through the Spirit's working by works? But it's all of grace. Well, you see, when that's the case, thanksgiving, honor, and will be given to the Lord. And the desire of your soul to serve the same Christ who served you so well in dying in your place, but also rising again and sitting into the Father to minister mercy, to minister grace, to declare there is blood to pardon from all your sins, and there is grace to live to the glory and the honor of God. We don't read much else about Sergius. But are you thankful that he was saved? Are you also thankful you raise up to the Lord that song of thanksgiving for your own personal saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. What is your case? What is your relationship with the Lord? What it really comes to, and God Himself knows, in this church, there are either enemies of Christ or there are friends of Christ. Saved or enemies of Christ opposing your own salvation and in the process doing damage to your soul. I say to you, exactly what said two times over in Luke 13, 3 and 5. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What can I say? 5:31, that Jesus Christ raised up to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance, remission of sin. What can I say to you? Neither is there saved in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. What can I say to you? Look unto me, the Lord says, and saved all the ends of the earth. And what must I say to these? Well, what says? Bring them and slay them be who would not me rule over them. The language of Christ as judge who comes this soon with his offering, his person's love, and calls you, turn me, turn me. For why will ye die? O people of the Lord, let us be fervent in our prayers and fervent in our activities to see the kingdom of God advanced, not only within the church, outside of the church, but also around the world. And wherever you come from, the Netherlands also, may your hearts be engaged to see the gospel advance, Christ's glory, and Christ made stronger in the where it seems like it prevails, and this is so little, and no, righteousness will prevail, and evil will be defeated, because Christ